chapter 23. You're groaning already. Verse 7 and verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 7 and 8. If you have it, can you say amen?
Amen.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. Are you all in it? Thou shalt not abhor or hate an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. Now, this is the theme I have here. I'll talk around. God's got a hit list, so be nice. God's got a hit list, so be nice. Now, you can shorten it off by just saying, be nice. Said, don't hate the Edomite, because he's your brother. And now that you so sanctified, don't forget your natural family. Don't get new, because you go to church now. They remember you when you weren't so churchy. Amen. And don't hate the Egyptian, because all them white people wasn't mean to you. Because I was a stranger in his land. The children of them that are begotten of them, who knows, they may get saved. So be nice. God's got a hit list. Now, it's going to be interesting here this morning, because this message goes in about two or three different directions. And I solicit your prayers. See, in the world they say, don't forget, get even. On the talk shows, they say, well, you going to forgive him for that? I wouldn't forgive him. And they almost indicate that it's all right to get even. You're determined to fix somebody whom you felt has done you wrong. So some valuable time that could be spent making progress, you busy plotting and planning to get even. And the person you plotting on is just moving on. Amen. Now you got the whole of that picture now. See, some of them poor students down there, Rutgers, worry about what other people think about their race. Well, they thought that way about you all along. Hey, they don't love you. But you have to learn that you came here to get through here. See, get your education. Buy the school. Then fire the president. Amen. Amen. Then the other thing we got to thought you have to hang on to is this, that some of us think that God is privileged to have us in his church. Some of us really can't get over the fact that God allowed us to sit in here. And after we got in, we sort of proud. And some of us think that anybody can get in here. See, you have one group that's just too proud to praise. Then you have another group of folks who think that God just gonna let any old thing in here. And so you brought some things in that are really strange to God. And let me preface my remarks. See, you went out there and had a good time. Before you knew it, you did something you didn't plan to. And now you're a single parent. And if you're not careful, you think God owes you something. I have to say that because it's a hard passage. See, instead of just saying, well, you know, I should be dead. God has kept me. And I thank you. If you're not careful, you can get to the point where you think God ain't done enough. And God is privileged for me to be here. So we just want to get the record straight. So you at least know how God think about it. And I think everything will be all right. Then the other thing. See, they come on TV. It was a man there the other day that had 21 operations to get his body fixed up. You know, cosmetic surgery. Got his face all clipped up, clipped back, fixed up. Then you have folks who say, you know what, I'm a man, but on my inside, I'm really a woman. So they go out and get chopped up. See, this stuff ain't new. And God has something to say about all these operations. If he wants your nose flat, he made it that way. Well, I just want to get you ready because it's going to be a rough ride here this morning. I solicit your prayers and we'll get out your way here. All right, are you ready? Right, here it go. Let me make it plain now. I want understanding. See, in this passage, God is talking about entering the congregation of Israel. Not everybody is allowed in the congregation. See, you may take your membership to Beulah lightly, because some of us do. But your position in God's church is of a paramount importance. Everybody is not in God's church. See, the Lord told you about the man that was invited to the wedding. He was having a wedding for his son. And he sent the invitations out. And the ones who he wanted to come didn't come. So the father said, well, just go out and get anybody and bring them to the house for the wedding. Now, rich folks had wedding garments for the guests. And so even the ones that he went out to invite, he had wedding garments for. But they came for the wedding, but without a garment. And so they were cast out. And the Lord is warning us that a whole bunch of us been invited in because God just wants an audience. But you better understand something. It's a privilege to be saved. See, everybody can sit around, but not everyone is going to heaven. That's what the communion is all about. That's what the Lord was talking about in those lamps. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Are you really what you say you are? Do you have your wedding garment? Because God is inclusive but exclusive at the same time. Some are coming in, some going out, but everybody's not going into heaven. Oh, we got to have that clear. He said, not everyone that says Lord, Lord.
Yes, sir.
So you got some tough stuff, and let's look at it. We all adults. Here it go. Chapter 23, verse 1. He that is wounded in the stones or hath his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So if you're a man on the outside and a woman on the inside and decide you're going to dress up as a woman and call yourself a woman, then you would be excluded. See, you got to be yourself. See, the back there, the Canaanites used to mutilate their children in order they might become eunuchs and serve in rich people's houses. So they would operate on and doctor them up for that system. And God is saying, I don't want my people caught up in Canaanite ways. Just because they put it on television doesn't make it new. See, you got to be satisfied with how the Lord created you. God didn't make a mistake. Amen. All right. right? Okay. It's all about entering the congregation of the Lord. See, strangers, foreigners had to be processed into the congregation. You all notice that, don't you? At the end of the service, Brother Brown will get up and read recommendations. We recommend that so-and-so be received as a candidate. See, there's a process. You're supposed to be interviewed. Certain questions should have been asked before you got your envelopes. Because you just can't get into the congregation of the Lord any old way. This is the blueprint back here. Now I'm sorry, but I can't even pronounce this word in the house of the Lord. A love child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An illegitimate child, a love child, was not allowed in the congregation. He got a love. But he said, you can't bring that child you had through fornication into his congregation. See, this is under law. See, God was trying to tell you from the Old Testament to the New that the sin of fornication will destroy the people. It's the one sin, we'll pick it up later on. You just can't be jumping around from bed to bed, man to man, no commitment, that I feel good, and come into God's house and think God is winking at that stuff. Somebody fooled you. And his name is Lucifer. They had it on the TV the other day. All this stuff that's going on while the parents is out. See, we got caught up in the ways of the world. Mama is working. Dad is working. And nobody's home to see what the daughter's doing. Then when you know it, you're a grandma. Now everybody's supposed to smile like nothing happened. Bring your coochie coo in here. See? And we're going to be nice to our family and our children. But you have to understand God's attitude. See, God did not want his people mixing and mingling with the world and coming up with children that you don't know their father and bringing them in his congregation.
Amen.
He didn't save you. Amen. To fornicate. Can you imagine your daughter going to school and they're handing her a condom? That's presupposing that you never taught her. That she's like some animal that's looking for a physical relationship. It's an insult. And just for the record, God don't like you. And his original will was that it be separate from his congregation. Sorry. It's the law. And when you say you save, sister, you got to be thankful. You got to know what you've been saved from. I can't. Amen. Verse 3. The Ammonite or the Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. See, God has some folks that are excluded. And the Ammonite and the Moabite were kept out. Why? Verse 4. Because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. God says when you were coming out of Egypt, the Moabite and the Ammonite, they saw you running for your life. And instead of feeding you and looking out for you, they weren't nice. They hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor or Mesopotamia, to curse you. While you were on your way trying to make it to the land of promise, you met some folks who didn't like you, who hired a preacher to try to curse you. And when Balaam opened his mouth to pronounce a curse, a blessing came out instead. But they didn't mean you well on your journey. Come on with me here now. See, there's some folks you're going to meet in church that you think love you, or you hope they care about you. And don't care a thing about you. Fact, if they could, they have God stomp you or curse you. But whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Don't you think every smile and grin you see is an indication that someone is glad you saved? But when I read my Bible here, I see that God made a note of who was helping and who was hindering. I don't know your motives. That's not my prerogative. I ain't thinking about you this morning. I'm trying to make my way to Canaan land. Amen. I'm on my way to heaven. I hope you be a stepping stone. But if you choose to be a stumbling block, my God's got your number. Amen. Nevertheless, the Lord, verse 5, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Amen. Now notice what he said. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. God said, don't pay no attention to them. This law here is tough. You don't even bother with them. Just keep going. Amen. Now, verse 7. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation. Are you there, man? See, you got to learn how to be nice. Because God has got a hit list. Now, if you're a Bible student, you note that In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham was coming from the battle. And he met a priest named Melchizedek, who was a king of Salem. Amen. King of righteousness. And Melchizedek met Abraham as he was coming from the battle. But Melchizedek brought bread and wine. And he served communion to Abraham. Then he blessed Abraham. Y'all don't hear me. But and God made a record. See, all he did was meet Abraham with kindness. He was nice. And the God who wrote all these 66 books, the God who kept all them stars in their sockets, the God who manages the seasons and keeps the waves roaring and the birds flying and the bees buzzing, he stopped long enough to write down that Melchizedek was nice to Abraham. The man of God was on his way, but somebody met him and was nice to him. You don't hear me? In the New Testament, Mark chapter 9, the Lord Jesus says, "But whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." If you give a person who's on their way just a drink of water in the Lord's name, you will not lose your reward. See, the Lord said, if I receive you, I'm receiving him. And if I receive him, I also receive the one whom God has sent. So when you going around here, be careful how you talk and how you treat God's people. If you say you say, you better receive them as though they were the Lord. Amen. And treat them like the Lord is in your presence. Yeah. Well, Lord, the church got quiet. God is taking notes. You don't want to talk back to me. But when Saul was caught on that Damascus road, he thought he was persecuting saints, putting them in jail, running them out of town. But when he met the Lord on the Damascus road, the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Well, you're not going to see the Lord in no long flowing robes, but as somebody that knocked on your door, that was running for their life. All they wanted was a little piece of bread with some peanut butter. Amen. But you weren't nice. You got yours. You can sit back here on Sunday with your leg crossed, with your white shirt and blue tie. But you've been kind of mean all week long. And I want you to know that God is taking notes. And you're not going to treat him any better than you treating the folks right around you. Save some of that shouting for Monday. Act like you're so burdened by church work. Working the church is just being nice. Sometimes the folks you don't even know. You want to talk back to me? I know it's tight, but I know it's right. You can't sing this stuff down. You can't be mean as a rattlesnake all week and jump up in the choir stand and try to sing sweet on Sunday. Talk about you the head of the fellowship, and Jesus is ugly as you can be. Ain't nobody gonna join that. You got to be nice. And God is keeping a record of how you treat his children. So he said, don't hate the Edomite, because he's your brother. Remember, Esau, see, was the progenitor of the Edomites. Remember Esau and Jacob? Amen. The twins were brothers. And the Edomites were relatives, you know, of the Jews. And he says, now don't hate your brother. We know that you say, but do your relatives know that you say? You so duty bound you can't even hug them. You so caught up with the work of the church that you just ain't worth a dime with your own family. They didn't reject Christ. They rejected you. And you saying, well, they don't want to get saved. They don't want to know. No, they want to know the Lord. They need to know him if they can see him through you. I needed an interpreter to understand what you're saying in tongues. But I don't need an interpreter to know what you're doing in love. I don't need your tongue if you're going to walk all over my newspaper and not even say good morning or have a kind word for anybody. Then you're going to come to me an hour later. You know the Bible says, let that Bible do some work on you first. See, God is going to make arrangements for that Edomite to get into his congregation. But he can't do what he wants to do unless you're nice. Amen. Then he said, now don't hate the Egyptians. See, because you are a stranger in their land. See, when Joseph came into Egypt, the Egyptians welcome him in there. He became the second ruler in the nation. See, later on, a Pharaoh came along and forgot about Joseph. But when the Israelites were in the wilderness, the Egyptians let him in.
Amen.
And I know this is the time for ethnicity, but don't carry it too far. There's over 200 million of them. 200 million. And it's only about 20 million of you at the best. Let me see. 20 million against 200 million. Well, I know you from Africa. But you still outnumbered. And what I'm saying, if all them 200 million people was as mean as you want to put them up to be, we wouldn't be here yet. Some of those Egyptians were better to you than your own family. Most of us worked for Egyptians when the Negroites couldn't hire you. But the Lord made a way that even your enemy, amen, gave you houses to live in that you used to clean up. Don't even like you. Can't stand you. But God moved him out so you can move in. And God said, don't mistreat him because, see, he says, be nice to your relatives. Because God said, I want to save the children. And if you can't get along with your natural brother or sister, God said, I still want to get their children saved. And don't let your argument with the members of your family get so big that your children can't see Christ. And as mean as that racist is, God said, I still want to save him. Because if I can get in him, the same man that thinks you're genetically inferior will realize that even if I don't have it in the genes, I got it in Jesus. You can be dumb as a doorknob and be in Christ and be wiser than Solomon. Because wisdom comes from the Lord. You may be able to get an education down the street, but you don't get wisdom down the street. It comes from the Lord. I may not have it genetically, but if I can get in touch with Jesus. Amen. He's got all wisdom. And he's able to make a way out of no way. So you have to be careful. You got to learn how to be nice. Because God has a hit list. You know what a hit list is? Those are folks you plan to get. You're not allowed to keep one. But God's got one. Amen. And you have to be careful that you don't get caught up in the media hype. When them talk shows come on, yeah, the man is all messed up. Ain't treating the girl right. He's not treating his family right. He ain't saved. So before you say stone him, see if the host for the talk show will talk about the Lord. They tell you what the man is doing, what he's done. He's a dirty bum. But as soon as somebody raised their hand and talk about the Lord, so they're going to bring religion in it. Now you don't know it, but I know it. But if the Lord get in the man, he'll be the husband she's looking for. Amen. So don't get caught up in calling for vengeance and stone the brother till you witnessed to the brother. We soon forget how we got saved. Amen. Some of us came right off the dance floor into the church, and you heard something from heaven that's changed your whole lifestyle. Things you used to do, you just don't care to do anymore. Because the Lord got in you. Change your way of thinking. Change your way of walking. Change your way of talking. Gave you a new perspective about life. Is there a witness in the building? World is out there saying, don't get mad, get even. All that crazy stuff. But see, you don't want to get caught up in that. See, because you're on your way to a better place. Y'all don't hear me. See, get that stuff out your mind. If they did you wrong, my God is writing all the time. He knows what they did to you. He knows what they said about you. His eye is on a sparrow. And I know he watches over me. I'm telling you, not careful. There's some violent people right in here. Not only on the talk shows, not only in the world, but right in here. You got some folks sitting up in the church, just as mean as a razor blade. They don't know where you came from. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what it took to get you here this morning. You could have just said, well, I love you. God love you. I'm so happy to see you this morning. But they didn't greet you that way. What you doing here? Who told you to do that? That's not your seat. We're out of here. But you didn't come here for that. But don't let that deter you. My God, he wrote it down. Don't you worry about it. You keep on keeping on. Because the devil comes to church too. If he could, he wants to get in the congregation. He's here to discourage you. Say something smart. Get you riled up so you lose your testimony. Well, you got to keep on keeping on. Just be nice. Charge at the Calvary and keep on hatting up. Don't waste your time worrying about what they said or what they did. Just keep looking to the hill and keep pressing on. Amen. Because I didn't come here to argue with you. I came to lift him up and to worship God, from whom all blessings flow. Can I get a witness? Say yeah. Say yeah. I got two questions I want to ask you. I'm going to get out your way. Are you saved? Are you nice? Amen. One, are you saved? And two, are you nicely saved? Amen. Amen. See, because everybody's not on your plane. Everyone is not at your level. And you have to be nice to folks. They trying to get to the same place that you're going. And they don't need an ugly word or ugly face. They need a voice of encouragement. When they come from the battle, did you bring them some wine and some bread in their thirst for righteousness? Did you give them a cup of water or a bitter cup? Did you bring your stuff in here and try to pass it off as church? Or they got quiet? They some mean people in the house. They pass by you and don't even speak. Got their nose up in the air. 5 minutes later, hallelujah. You lying and the truth ain't in you. Amen. They done talked about you all week. They know you having a problem. They know you in difficulty. And you come here spiritually running for your life, all messed up on the inside. If I can just hear a word from heaven, If I can just hear somebody pray for me. And instead of helping you, they put their foot out and trip you. They some mean folks. Smile don't cost you anything. You can even practice one. A smile don't cost you anything. You'd be surprised what that do for your brother, your sister. If they just see you smile sometime. Church still going on. God's still blessing. When rough and go, somebody God got somebody else. What you so mean looking about? The Lord done brought you. Get a grin on your face. Get a happy face. You act like everything's falling apart. This is God's house. Ain't nobody in here that big. God gonna keep his house going. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's kingdom. You might as well smile. God gonna fix it. Amen. You got some mean folks. They won't let you forget what God has forgotten. You better watch your ugly self. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is under law. We're not under law. We're under grace. God has said, I don't care what you were in. I'm going to pull you out with cords of love. And grace. And when I get you in my book, I'm cutting off all that past life. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things brand new, clean. Clean. Got a new start. Then Paul puts it this way. Forgetting those things that are behind me. I press. Oh, help me to press. Higher heights and deeper depths. I don't need any reruns. I don't need you to take me back to where I was. Help me see where I'm going. Your whispering demon. God done pulled a person out the mud. There's still some mud on their clothes. Amen. But the person is out of the mud. In a little while, we're going to get the mud off the clothes too. But at least celebrate the fact that they're out of the mud. Amen. Some folks as mean as they can be. They know you have a burning testimony. Amen. Know you want to tell it. And they close the meeting down. We don't have enough of that. Let's go on to the next thing. They don't know whether it's your last time or not. Somebody there might need that testimony. You got to be nice. Take some time out. Let them tell it to the glory of God. Ain't nothing out your pocket. You sit there and gossip for 2 hours. You ought to put your watch on that. You ought to tell that old demon of gossip, that's enough time for you. I've got more important things to do. Amen. Some mean folks. They whispering about you. Then as soon as you come out. Amen. But God's got a hit list. Then some of us been faked out. Amen. That's a mean folk. They around there telling you the white man unstole from you and the black man got his hand in your pocketbook. Amen. If you're not careful, they have it across the pulpit that your main enemy is somebody of another race. First it was white, now they yellow. Then they tan. Everybody but the black. Amen. It's a mean folks. You got folks in here talk to you like they're friends. But they're really sponges. They just come to sponge up all your dirt. Then they go out and wring it out. Amen. Everybody in the house of God ain't right. They put all your business on the billboard. They tell your plans to your enemy. Then they throw rocks and hide their hands. Their acts and attitudes can make you sorry that you came to the house of God. They leave you at the bus stop. But you need to know something, that God has a hit list. He don't want you keeping records of who let you down, who double crossed you. You wasting valuable time worrying about your enemy. God put the Edomites and the Moabites on his hit list. You got to learn how to keep on keeping on. They may talk about you like a dog, but you just make sure that you have on your wedding garment. You make sure when you get to the house of God that you dressed up for the wedding. Because we are on our way to the marriage of the Lamb. And I want my stuff clean, pressed, and ready for the affair. You don't want to talk back to me. They may put you down, but you keep on keeping on. Just check your lamp. Make sure there's some oil in your lamp. Let what they say about you go in one ear and out the other. You keep on keeping on. You be like that Samaritan woman. Amen. That sat down there by the well when she met the Lord. And when he got finished with her, the Bible says she dropped her water pot. Now they say she was out there at that well at that time of day because of her reputation. She was a mess. You know, she had about 5 husbands and she was shacking up when she met the Lord. But when he got finished with her, she didn't care what they had to say about her. Amen. She dropped her water pots and went running into the city and said, come see a man. Told me all about myself. See, being a Samaritan, she would have been excluded. But when she met Jesus, she was included. And if he shows up, nothing you say about me will hold any weight. If he shows up, nothing you think about me will hold any weight. Because when he shows up, he cleans up. He fixes up. He revives. He restores. He delivers. He anoints. He appoints. He elects. He selects. He's all right. Simon made the mistake of inviting the Lord to his house for dinner. Simon didn't wash his feet, didn't give the Lord the courtesy of the day. But there was a woman there, fell down at his feet, washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair. And Simon and them folks, them Pharisees, said that he knew who that woman was. He wouldn't let her touch him. He said, Simon, oh son, I came into your house. You didn't give me the courtesy of the day. But this woman, she hadn't done anything since I've been in here. But wash my feet and anoint them. Because her sins, which were many, are forgiven. And he that is forgiven of much, the same loves much. And some of us sitting up here this morning have been forgiven of gross sin. Not just before you got saved, but after. Amen. Amen. And he never put you down. In fact, he's blessed you. He's kept you and the child. Gave you some dignity. Made you somebody. Picked you up out the mud. They call you miss. They speak to you respect. Because they know there's somebody on your inside. You're just not something of the street. But you a virtuous woman. Because you met the man named Jesus. And he brought you. He's blessed you. But I come to tell you, it's time to bless him back. It's time to praise him. That boyfriend left you in the lurch, left you with that child, expecting you to go down, but the Lord picked you up. And the same God who in the Old Testament said neither you nor your child have a right to be in my congregation sent his son to clean up the situation and not only brought you in the congregation but made you part of his family. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Same God. New Testament said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And he said, I'll be your father, and you be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He just didn't just bring you out, but now you're part of his family. He's your father. You his daughter. He's your father. You're his son because of what happened at Calvary. And because of that, you ought to be nice. If God was nice to you, you ought to be nice to other folks. Can you say amen? Now, as we get out of your way, Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He said, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath, even as others, but God. See, we were Moabites, Edomites, Ammonites, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. While you were shacking up, while you was in the bed with the wrong man, with the wrong woman, he loved you anyhow. And Paul says, by grace ye are saved. You are saved. We are saved by love that we don't deserve. It's what I can't understand. If God would just give it to folks who deserve it, I can understand. But he go around looking for no good, no count, nobody. Okay, you don't want to talk back to me. But you need to understand why I make the noise I make. It ain't because they playing some Hammond organ or beating on some drum. I know where he brought me from. And Paul said, listen to this, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All I've done, all my transgression, all my mess, He picked me up, raised me, and made me sit down in heaven in Christ right now. Far as God is concerned, you're there right now. You better know that. See, that's what keep you from going off. Amen. Now, He said that in the ages to come. Amen. He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, He go after nasty nobodies to prove how great His love is. You know, that's some powerful love that can take a dope addict, a no count, and change his whole attitude, his whole lifestyle. That's what we're talking about. Then He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. You going to heaven if you're going, because God gave it to you. You ain't earned nothing. If God were to give you what you earned, you'd be kind of hot. Gave it to you. Then He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are y'all there? Then Paul says later on, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us. See, if you will accept what He said in Ephesians 2, then the result's going to be seen in Ephesians 5. You're going to be a follower of God. Then He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now that you say, everything come out your mouth ought to be, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for one more day. Thank you for my food. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you for my legs. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my strength. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you for my brothers. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for my dad. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Paul says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So you go, God cutting out again. See, we be sitting around here, and this brother doing this and doing that and doing the other. Then he want to tell you he's saved. God said, Paul said, let no man deceive you with vain words. If what I'm saying don't show up in my life, I'm a liar and the truth ain't in me. Don't think you're going to heaven messing with these women around here. And a whole lot of these brothers will be wonderfully saved, sister, if you give them a break. I better get to my seat. See, from the time that creation started, Before you were a gleam in your daddy's eye, God had fixed a place for you in heaven. It's called predestination. Before your mom and dad had ever met, before the foundation of the world, God had made arrangements for you. After the arrangements were made, from the time you was conceived, God had angels watching out for you. While you were still out there, didn't want to hear about God, He had angels. You know you was dumb, but you weren't that dumb. Something told you when to stop drinking and go home. Somebody was looking out the window when you came down the street to see that you got in the house safe. Oh yeah! Some of the prophets were called from their mother's womb. See, you're not God's afterthought. And He watched over you. He supervised your life. He superintended your life. He separated you from that man that was going to kill you. He separated you from friends that didn't mean you any good. Then, in the nick of time, He saved you. One day when you least expect it, you heard some good news from heaven. He stepped in and saved you. Now He wants to sanctify. He pulled you out of this, over to this, and He wants to clean you up so He can use you over there. And He's still watching. He said, I don't want anybody hindering my work. So as He works on you, as He works for you, God is looking at those folks who would hinder you. But if God be for us, who can be against us? If God said, I'm going to get from here over to there, you're going to get from over here to over there. Can't nobody stop you. You might as well learn how to sing right on King Jesus. Right on King Jesus. Can't no man hinder you. You might as well get it in your mind that you want to get where God wants you to be. Well, enemies are going to come in your path. But you got to be so involved with what God is doing that you don't have time to fool with enemies. You got to learn how to say, Lord, they're getting on my nerves again. But into your hands, I commend my spirit. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. See, you talk about me. What you hope is I'm going to stop running and pay attention to what you're saying about me. But instead, I go on about my business. If I belong to myself, I might get my knife and cut you, or my gun and shoot you. But I know that God is for me. I've been redeemed. So I keep on running. And God's keeping the record. He knows what you said about me. He knows what you tried to do to me. And in his own time, he's going to fix it. He's going to fix you. And he's going to fix me. But I don't know about you. But it's something about this journey. I was a nobody. I was dusty, dirty, and broken. Yeah, the label said one thing, but there was something else on the inside. I wasn't fit to live or fit to die. But one day Jesus came. He came into the shop, saw me on the shelf, decided he would purchase me. All broken, all dirty, and good for nothing. I was not eligible for the congregation of Israel, and I wasn't eligible for heaven. But he saw me, said, how much is he worth? When he found out what it would cost, he could have walked out the store and left me on the shelf. But I'm so glad he didn't do that. But he paid the price. He went to Calvary, shed his blood to purchase my redemption. If anybody asks you whose child I am, just tell them, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Can I get a witness? Ain't he all right? Then he came back to the shop. Yes, he did. Took that old broken vessel. He said, I'm going to wrap it up, seal it up, tie it up, and then I'm coming back to pick it up. He put on the outside. Amen. Special delivery. Don't open till we get to heaven. So right now, I don't know about you, but I met some enemies and some mean folks on my journey home. I would get into the alley fight. There would be a rumble. But I just can't forget what he done for me. I would argue with you, but I can't forget how he cleansed me. I can't forget how he took time out to listen to me. I can't forget how he forgave me of my sin. I can't forget how he loved me when I wasn't lovely. I can't forget how he goes out of his way to minister to my needs. I can't forget how I was out there and he brought me in. I can't forget how he builds me up. I can't forget how he's the same day in, day out. I can't forget how when the doctor said no, he said yes. I can't forget what he done for me. I never shall forget what he done for me. I never shall forget what he done for me. My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Been my joy in the midst of sorrow. He's my hope for tomorrow. I never shall forget. No, never. I never shall forget what he done for me. So I just don't have time. Talk about me much as you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. But I'm going to keep on running. And in God's own time, he's going to fix it. He's going to fix me. And he's going to fix you. Can you say amen? I don't know how you feel about it, but I had trouble on my way. I had to cry sometimes, but Jesus gonna fix it. Jesus is gonna fix it after a while. Can I get a witness? Say yeah. Say yeah. Ain't it all right? Right on. King Jesus. Right on. King Emmanuel. Right on. King Jesus. If you say you ought to be sanctified. If you're sanctified, you ought to be nice. Nice to everybody. Give everybody something if you got it. Don't be a stumbling block. Be a stepping stone. Because after a while, by and by, over on the other side, we're going to see him face to face. You got the answer for what we've done in the body. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? Am I right about it? So while I'm down here preaching, Lord, search my heart. While I'm down here singing, Lord, search my heart. You know, Lord, whether I'm right. You know, Lord, whether I'm wrong. Hey, you know, Lord, whether I'm right or wrong. I don't know. If the mafia was after me, if I was on their hit list, I might escape. If organized crime was after me, I might escape. But if you're on God's hit list, you can't get away. Take wings and fly. He's there when you arrive. Try to duck under the sea. He's down there too. There's only one way you can escape. That's to call on the name of the Lord. If you're here this morning and you haven't called on him, then you're on God's hit list. And you probably treated somebody mean. And God's got you lined up for some fixing. But if you call on the name of the Lord this morning, he'll take you off that list. Then he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then he'll protect you from the folks who have you on their hit list. But you have to make up your mind this morning to get yourself off of God's hit list. While the choir's singing and while we're standing, we invite you to come. If you're here this morning, don't know Him as a personal Savior, on the outside, we invite you to come. It's your time now. You will have to leave your seat and make your way to the front of the sanctuary. Won't you come? Is there one who will call on Him today and be saved? Won't you come? Is there another? Won't you come? Won't you come? Is there another? If you're here this morning without a church home, without a church fellowship, we invite you to come. Come and study the Word of God with us. Is there one? It's here this morning without a church home. We invite you to come.
that. Look how far we've come with the Lord. Once there were many, then there were a few. If you trust Jesus, see what God can do.
Look how far we've come with the Lord.
When I think back on the old times, I remember when He gave us victory over and over again.
Look how far we've come with the Lord.
The one thing for which I love Him the most, He anoints us with His Holy Ghost.
Look how far we've come.
Which I love Him the most. He anoints us with His Holy Ghost.
We've come to
how far. Look how far
we've come.
Look how far
we've come.